This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid. ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله وقال تعالى فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت مع من أحببت يوم القيامة فقال أنس فما فرح الصحابة بشيء فرحهم بهذا الحديث وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرى للمتحابين مثل النكاح لم يرى للمتحابين مثل النكاح وقال تعالى ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, nice to be with you on this Sunday evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a blessed meeting and a blessed gathering. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a cause of our closeness to Him and of an increase in our love for Him. Because increase in love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the secret of all success in this world. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what teaches a person and makes a person a better lover in every other aspect. How do we define love? That's something that I will do a bit later, once we've given a few examples of what love is all about. Now, I'm going to go back into history. So today, what you have is people learn love from different places. I mean, where do people learn love from nowadays? People learn love from EastEnders, Neighbours, Oprah Winfrey shows. She brings on these people who gone mad in love with somebody for some reason. The way we describe love is butterflies in the stomach, electricity, a feeling of, you know, a connection, etc., etc. There's lots of that stuff. You have to remember that when there's a man and a woman alone who are not married, then shaitan is a third of them. And that's the electricity that you feel. Now today, the talk is not necessarily about marriage. Although I'm sure most of you read into this poster, and I looked at it very carefully before I came. The title of the poster is Ingredients to a Happy and a Content Life. Ingredients to a Happy and Content Life. Nowhere on that poster, though it was read, nowhere on that poster was there anything to do with marriage. Because when I was preparing, I said, hold on, let me see what this is about. Because the last time I looked at it, there was nothing about marriage on there. The only words that stuck out for me were divine love and so on and so forth. So if you go and revisit that poster again, you'll notice that it's got nothing to do with marriage. I know that that's generally what attracts everybody. So if you're here to learn about marriage, then I'm not sure if you're going to be satisfied. But inshallah, let's talk about what is required for marriage. What we'll be speaking about today, inshallah, is something that is to do with the secret of living this life in a successful way. And then that be so successful that you have success, inshallah, in the hereafter as well. That's what's important about this. So firstly, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be quoting a number of incidents from the past, from classical times. We're talking about from even before Islam, among the Arab tribes, and then during Islam. And we're going to try to, inshallah, analyze it and look into it and see how we can, inshallah, benefit from this. So first and foremost, there's a very interesting poem, a line from the poem of Allama Busiri, the Egyptian poet who wrote the Qasida Burda. He says in there, Ya la'imi fil hawa al-udhriyi ma'ziratan minni ilayka walau ansafta lam talumi. He says, يا لائم في الهوى العذري معذرة مني إليك ولم ولو أنصفت لم تلمي What that means is, O person who is censoring me, O person who is complaining about me, O person who's criticizing me on this chaste love, the love like the tribe of Banu Adhara. If you were to really understand the reason for this love of mine and why I'm crying so much and why I have sleepless nights and why it is as though I'm crying red tears and blood from my eyes and why they've made these streaks on my chin and then yet I still deny, if you were really to know the reason for that, وَلَوْ أَنصَفْتَ لَمْ تَلُمِي. Had you been just in that regard, by understanding my excuse, then you would have no censor for me. You will not blame me in any way whatsoever. So what he does here, as many other Arab poets do, is that they quote al-hubb al-udhri or al-hawa al-udhri. Hawa is actually just one of the stages of love. Now, we don't have time to go into defining love and its stages as have the Arabs. I'm not joking, but literally I collected together all of the words in Arabic that they have for love and the different stages and maratib of love, and I got 7 pages of them. It's not 7 stages, I got 7 pages, along with their definitions, of course. I would say there's about 30 to 40 different words that denote different stages and different types of love and how they make you feel and what they make you do. That's why it's the Arab society, the Arab culture was, mashallah, full of love. I mean, it's a generic thing. I mean, it's not just the Arab culture, but because they were Arab, which means Arab, having the ability to articulate their feelings so precisely, which is what they were very proud of, and that was something they were extremely proud of, they have all of these words. I won't go into all of these terms because it's not the point here. It's not a philology or a lexicography talk. It's actually about love itself. So just to give you the basic ones, some that we can relate to, it starts off with hawa. Hawa is just kind of an inclination. So something comes up. You see something, you see a quality. Now you have to understand first that love is not generally not a rational thing. Right? Let's get this right. You have things which are rational, right? They fall according to some logic and some intellect. Then you have the things which are totally irrational. Something that just doesn't make up, like 2 plus 2 saying it's 5. That's irrational. But then there are many things which people refuse to believe that are neither rational nor irrational. They are just non-rational. They can't be categorized by being rational or non-rational. However, there are levels of love which are rational. For example, you see beauty in something, that's going to incline you towards it. You see intellect, smartness, right? Brain activity, right? Somebody who's very quick like that, you're going to be attracted. Somebody's got wealth, you're going to be attracted. Somebody who's from a very good background, you're going to be attractive. Somebody's got knowledge, you're going to be attractive. These are all intellectual reasons for loving someone, for liking somebody, which eventually turns to love for somebody. Now, of course, anybody who has a combination of these triggers for love, there's going to be much more attractive than somebody who's got less triggers of that love, less triggers of love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest reasons for anybody to love him. And so did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, in many cases, there are people who will love somebody without having necessarily any of these triggers. It is something that will just enter into us, and that's something I will define later. So love, in many cases, is totally non-rational. You don't know why it's there. You don't know why a husband will not know why he loves his wife, or a wife will not know why she loves her husband. And yet, there's reasons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places something there. So hawa is the first stage. It's just its inclination. It hasn't really got to the depth of the heart. It hasn't set in your heart yet. It's just a hawa. We go through this probably many times during our life, where we become inclined to something, and then we look at it, we ponder over it, or we distance ourselves from it, or we never see it again, and then it goes. So it's not allowed to settle. The second stage is ilaqah. ilaqa, which means a kind of a association. It gets a bit stronger. This is a bit stronger than just hawa. It's stronger than just being inclined, where there's a bit of a connection that's made, because ilaqa, alaqa means to stick to something. Uluq means to stick. And that's why ilaqa is a bit stronger. Then they've got ishq, which becomes even stronger. Then you've got shaghaf. And shaghaf is when it reaches the outside of the heart. That's when the love reaches the outside of the heart. That's shaghaf. And then you've got sha'af. And then of course you've got hubb and khulla. And you've got many, many, many others. Right? Wud and hubb and subhanAllah. There's many. Now, the point is that if we go back to the Arabs, there were different tribes. There were the Banu Asad. There were the Banu Tamim. There were numerous Arab tribes. Now, each one of them had a particular quality or some negative quality. The Banu Adhra, they had this particular quality that if they loved something, they would love it to death. That's why they mentioned that from a young age, if a person fell in love with his cousin sister, or the girl fell in love with her cousin brother, they would literally not marry, or even if they did marry, they would absolutely not be able to deal with anybody else. They would have to get married or they would kill themselves, in many cases like that. So the Arab poets, they use this udhri, love that is udhri, hubb al-udhri, hawa al-udhri, right, to describe this kind of intense love. That's why this poet is saying here, ya la'imi fil hawa al-udhri, O person who is complaining and criticizing me for this intense love, like the love of the people of the tribe of Adhra. So now let me give you one example. Asma'i, who's one of the Arab philologists and lexicographers, he says that once Jamil ibn Abdul Rahman, he went and visited Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, one of the Umayyad Khalifs. And he said, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan said to him, "Oh Jamil, tell me something about the Banu Adhra. I've heard a lot about them. Tell me something about them, about the Banu Adhra. Because what I've heard is that they're people of intense love. They've got a lot of this love about them. So tell me a story about them. They also were very good at fulfilling their promises, right? That's what makes this love so strong. Because once they love somebody, that's it. It's to death. It's to death." So he says that, look, all the Arabs, I mean, there's love in all the Arabs. I mean, just like there is in everybody, because love is a generic thing that everybody has to deal with. However, when it comes to the Banu Adhra, you'll see, he says that you will see somebody, right? Now, what does love do to a person? What is the one thing that love does to a person? If somebody's in love, they're not going to be aggressive. They're going to be very soft. They're going to be like a walkover, because they're just in another world. They're in a different dunya. So he says that sometimes you will see people who look rough because they've got these rough garments on, you know, thick woolen rough sack-like garments on, and you would think that this person will kind of swear at you. You think that this person is going to give you a really rough response. But then when you actually start talking to him, because of the love that he has inside, he's from the Banu Adhra, you will see that he is actually softer than running water. He is just so soft and so mellow. And altaf min al hawa. He is so subtle like the wind, like so calm. Yet outwardly he's something else because of what's inside him. So this was a special trait that they had. Yazid ibn Muawiyah, he had a person that used to speak to him. And one day he said to him that, actually, this friend of his that used to sit and speak to him, he was from the Banu Adhra. He was a Udhri. So one day he said to him that, you know, I've heard that you people are very soft. He says, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen." Now remember, this Yazid ibn Muawiyah is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He actually ruled for quite a while. So what's mentioned that he asked this Udhri person that, "I've heard that you people are very soft." So he said, "Yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen. I'll give you an example." He said that my family members were in this place called Thanima, and they'd gone there for a particular reason. I went behind them and I kind of got lost. So suddenly I found this shepherd. So I asked him for some help. I said, "Can you tell me which direction I need to go in?" He was on the side of a mountain and he was grazing his sheep. So I said to him, "Can you help me out?" So he said to me, okay, I'll help you out. Assalamu alaikum, gave salam, etc. And then he said, I'll help you out, but why don't you just relax with me for a while? You know, stretch out your back a bit, which means just relax a bit. I'll feed you something. And then after that, you'll go after that. So I sat there and he was very welcoming and he was extremely, extremely hospitable to me. What he did was immediately what he did is he went to one of his goats. He sacrificed it, got a fire running, right? Got a fire running immediately, and he began to roast this goat for me immediately. And then after that, he put it in front of me. And then after that, he told me to stay there the night because it was evening time, at night time. So I stayed there. But in the middle of the night, meaning as night fell. Now in those days, night means after Maghrib, right? That was night time. You know, there was no 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock is night time, you know, when you've got artificial lights. This is night time, right? After Maghrib, it's night time. So he says that in the middle of the night, I'm hearing that he's complaining about something. And he's talking as though he's got this longing. So he's talking to somebody. I know that there was no other person with him, but he's talking to somebody. And he's talking with this great, great forlorn kind of love and longing and desire and things like this. So I really felt really sorry for him, that he seems to be in a lot of pain. He seems to have some kind of emotional issues in terms of this love and this longing. So in the morning I asked him, can I leave? I didn't bother asking him what he was doing at night, but then I said, can I leave now? So he says, no, you can't leave, because generally hospitality is for 3 days. The Arabs were very strong on this, that no, you have to stay for 3 days, even with strangers. And this is something I've actually experienced in Homs, which is Homs in Syria. MashaAllah, there's this man, Umar al-Humsi, his name was, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all the brothers there. But believe me, he insisted on us staying in his house. We wanted to come back to Damascus, but he insisted and staying. It's a long story. But in the morning, he took us to all of the shops, and he is so proudly saying, these are my guests. Right? It was amazing. It was myself, my wife, and my child, and he kept us in the house, and he just wouldn't let us go. And that was the first time I was like attacked by this Arab, pure Arab hospitality. It was quite amazing. But anyway, that's a different story. So he says, no, you can't leave. You know, you have to stay with me for 3 days. So I said, okay, fine. I mean, he's impressing on me. Yeah, this is what culture does, right? I have to stay there. So he stayed there. And then I asked him his name and, you know, his ancestry and everything like that. And he turned out to be from Ashrafu Bani Adhra, from the nobility, from the aristocracy of the Banu Adhra. So he was actually, he seemed like a shepherd, but really that was not his true status. His status was one of the noble men of the Banu Adhra. So I asked him, what are you doing here then? Why are you grazing sheep? The nobility did not graze sheep. You know, you had the lower caste doing that. So he says, well, you know, the story is this. I used to love my cousin sister, my uncle's daughter. And I proposed to her, to her father, but he refused because I didn't have enough money at the time. So he had her then marry somebody else. He had her marry somebody else from the Banu Kilab, from another tribe, completely another tribe. And then she left the area to go and live in this different locality with the other tribe. And I have no patience. I couldn't stay there anymore. I had to be close to her. Now this is Jahiliyyah time, okay? So this is not like do it, you know, this is like don't do this at home. You understand? This is not something you're supposed to do. All right? This is just to show what love is all about. So what he's saying is that I couldn't stay in my area any longer. I went and I got myself employed at her husband as his shepherd. Just so I can be close to her. You know, like go and work in her father's shop. That kind of a thing. Right? Or become a maid in her house, in his house. Something like that. So what she does now is she comes at night. And we speak. And then she goes back. She's got the same love that I have for her. She's got the same love for me. They were both Banu Adhra. Right? They were both from the same tribe. So she does the same. So at nighttime, that's when she comes. So now it's the next evening. And as it's the evening, he's getting extremely exasperated. He's waiting. You know when you're waiting for somebody, especially somebody you love. I could see his agitation. And subhanAllah, he says, when he saw her, he quickly rushed to her. And, he would quickly rush her. That's the way he would do it. But this night, she didn't come. She got delayed. So he began to sing a poem. He says, مَا بَالُ مَنِيَّةٍ لَا تَأْتِي لِعَادَتِهَا أَعَاقَهَا عَائِقٌ أَمْ صَدَّهَا شُغْلٌ نَفْسِي فِدَاؤُكَ قَدْ هَيَّجَتْ لِي شَجَنَا تَكَادُ مِنْ حَرِّهِ الْأَعْضَاءُ تَشْتَعِلُ. So essentially he's saying, what's prevented her? What stopped her? What's stopped her from coming? She comes every day without fail. There must be something. Has something happened? And he says that I've got such heat and intensity in my body that it's like my limbs are going to burn with the heat that I feel for this. He told me then, he goes, you wait here and I'm going to go and check what's happened to her. I'm going to go and see if she's in the path, if she's on the road. So he left and now I couldn't see him any longer, in the moonlight or whatever it was. I couldn't see him any longer. And I waited for a while and finally he came back and he was carrying something. And I could hear his screams and his shouts and his crying, his weeping. He was intensely weeping and he was carrying something. I said, what's happened to you? What's wrong with you? So he said, oh my brother, this is, and what he was carrying, he said, this is my cousin sister. This is my cousin sister. She was coming and a wild beast attacked her on the way and he's killed her. He's killed her. He placed her down and then he said to me, you stay where you are. I'm going to go off for a while. I'll come back, but you stay where you are. He went and then he'd gone for quite a while. Finally, I was like, he's not going to come back. Finally, he came back and he had the head of this wild beast, whatever it was, a lion or whatever it was, a wild beast in his hand, and he brought it back. And then he said to me, oh, my brother from the Banu Adhra tribe, because this man was also from the Banu Adhra. Right? He says, oh, person of the Banu Adhra tribe, soon you're going to see that I'm dead as well. I'm going to die very soon as well. What I want you to do is I want you to bury myself and my this cousin sister of mine, put us in the same shroud. Put us in the same shroud and put us into the same grave. Then what I want you to do is I want you to put a headstone there and I want you to write on there the following two poems. Kunna ala dhahriha wal'ayshu fi mahali wal-shamlu yajma'una wal-dahru wal-watanu. And then he says, فَفَرَّقَ الدَّهْرَ بِالتَّشْتِيتِ أُلْفَتَنَا فَصَارَ يَجْمَعُنَا فِي بَطْنِهَا الْكَفَنُ. So what that means is, he's saying that we were together time after time, meaning we were together some time after some time while we were on the surface of this earth. That's how life was. He used to gather us together sometime, even though we were from the same family and we were in the same area. But he says, the time and life has now separated between us and our familiarity and our love has been dissipated. Now the kafan and the shroud is what is going to finally gather us together and bring us together. And then he said to me that these sheep that I have, these goats, etc., give it back to my master so that they return to their owner. And then after that he went and he took a noose and he was about to hang himself. And I am trying to insist and persist on him not to do that. And I'm swearing by Allah, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do this. But he totally refused and he killed himself. He killed himself. So I did exactly after I did. I buried them both together in the same grave and then I wrote those poems. And then after that, I went and told the owner when I went to give him back his sheep and so on. And I mentioned that and he felt really bad that he hadn't known about this situation. He felt really bad about this situation. So there's a number of stories about these Banu Adhra. It's not a time for those stories. This is just to give you one understanding of what love can do to a person, right? Especially when it gets very strong. The question for us is, where should this love be targeted? What are the boundaries of this love? What's the good and bad of it? To know that love can do this to you is important. Because many of us, we don't know sometimes before we experience some of these things, what these things can do to us. Love is a very natural trait. It's something that occurs with all of us. But there needs to be some kind of intellectual governance of it as far as possible. Right? Love is definitely something that is going to overtake our intelligence. It's going to overtake our intellect. But subhanAllah, it is something that still needs to be fostered in a proper way so that it can have the true benefits. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it like that. Now, Utbi, another narrator, he says that there's nobody in history. Now, this is his opinion. He says there's nobody in history who's reached a stage of love that this Qais reached. Qais was this man who's called the Layla, the Majnunu Layla. You've heard the story of Layla Majnun, the Romeo Juliet of the Arabs, right? So his real name, Majnun, means insane. The person who's insane about something, who's crazy, right? That's not his name, that's his title. His name was Qais, right? Qais, he fell in love with this woman called Layla, right? So Utbi says that لَمْ يَبْلَغْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُحِبِّينَ مَا بَلَغَ قَيْسَ الْمَجْنُونَ. Nobody has reached the stage of love and obsession as much as Qais has. Now, of course, Utbi does not, you know, has not investigated the entire world and every single love story there is out there. This is obviously in his knowledge. There must be other people who are of the same caliber, who are of the same, you know, level, but subhanAllah, or even more maybe. But this one has become famous. Now, some interesting things about him. He was so crazy in his love that he says, he used to go and he used to kiss the walls of this locality. And people used to say, why are you doing this? He says, look, it's not the walls that have attracted my heart and captured my heart. Walakin, it's the one man sakana diyara. It's the love of the one who lives in this locality. So even the walls that are associated, I go and kiss them because I can't get to her. He used to keep looking at the moonlight. Somebody said, why do you do that? He said, well, maybe Layla's looking at the moon as well. And I'm looking at the, I might be able to coincide with her look on the moon. And then our gazes will meet at the moon. I mean, come on, man. Right? But subhanAllah, that's the way, that's what love does to you. That's what love does to you. That's why the way Busiri even starts it off in this love, like a love poem, his poem about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he starts it off like a love poem. He starts off by saying that, are you crying because of you're missing your neighbors? أَمِنْ تَذَكُّرِ جِيرَانٍ بِذِي سَلَمِي. Or is it وَأَوْمَضَ الْبَرْكُ فِي الظَّلْمَاءِ مِنْ إِضَمِي. Or is it because the lightning has flashed from the direction of Idam? Now you see, in those days they had no light. So when lightning would flash in the area where your beloved lived, you'd look in that direction thinking you could see her. Ajib, it's just you're hanging on threads. It's that kind of a situation. Going back to this Qais, he just absolutely was so besotted that he wouldn't understand anything. He wouldn't even wear proper sewn clothing. He would just be in tatty clothing. He used to run away from everybody. He used to want to be alone. The only time that he would sit and talk to anybody is if they were willing to listen to the stories of Layla. If they were willing to talk about her, then he was willing to speak to them. So he would sit and he would sing these most eloquent poems. It was amazing how he could compose these most eloquent and strong poems in that. As soon as the person started to change the subject and talk about somebody else, he would walk away. That's what you call love. Right? You only want to speak about him, nobody else. Right? Now, some of the salaf, he says, now, one of the salaf, one of the ulama of the past, he says that I saw this Qais in my dream after he died. And I'd heard his stories. So I said to him, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكْ. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to you? How did he treat you? After all of, your entire story in this world and everybody's talking about you, what happened to you in the afterlife? So he says, غَفَرَ لِي. He forgave me. He forgave me. And then he said another thing. He says, وَجَعَلَنِي حُجَّةً عَلَى الْمُحِبِّينَ. He made me the proof on all those who claim love for Allah. How? Okay. It's related that on the Day of Judgment, now this is, I'm not swearing by any of this. This is just a description. He says that, they say that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's on his behalf, he will say, Aina Majnunu Layla. They'll call out for this Majnun, right, for Qais, that where is he? He will be brought, Ash'ath Aghbar Ka'annahu Al-Ghul Awish Shay Al-Bali. He'll come in the same state that he was in the world, totally disheveled and soiled and tatty clothing. He will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reckon with him. And then after that, he will forgive him. He will forgive him because he was insane, whatever the reason is, right? Allah knows best. And then he will say, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, أَيْنَ الَّذِينَ إِدَّعُوا مَحَبَّتِي. Now bring those people who used to claim love for me. This man used to claim love for this woman. But you bring to me those people who used to claim to love me. أَلْفِيكُمْ مَنْ بَلَغَ فِي طَاعَتِي مِثْلَ مَا بَلَغَ قَيْسٌ فِي طَاعَتِ لَيْلَى وَمَحَبَّتِهَا. Is there anybody among those claimants of divine love who have reached the level of obedience to Allah, to Allah who they claim to love? Has anybody reached the same level as this Qais has reached of his obedience to Layla? And of course, you know, that's what they say. Now, going on to moving on, it's related. Now let's look at something. I've described to you what love can do to you. Now let's look at what love is and how you have to deal with that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, because there are a lot of people, I get a lot of these emails that they love somebody, but unfortunately the families can't agree, so they're not going to be married. Then she gets married to somebody else, or he gets married to somebody else, and this person is still waiting for a miracle to happen. What are you supposed to do in that situation? If it's a one-sided story, I would say just forget it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I believe the dua for istikhara is very powerful. Oh Allah, if this is not good for me, then remove it from me. So one is that he's removed it from you, but you still love it. You're still emotionally attached. So then the dua says, and remove me from it. Right? So separate both of us. And then it says, give me the best wherever it is. It's the most powerful dua you can have if you've got an emotional problem. So anyway, it's related that this Basri, this young guy from Basra, he fell intensely in love with this girl who was, again, his cousin's sister, right? I mean, in those days, that's what you had. You had your family around you, right? It wasn't a London cosmopolitan city where, subhanAllah, you know, it's all varieties and everything you have to deal with every day. This was his cousin's sister. Again, he went and proposed to her father, but the father, for some reason, did not agree, right? The same old story, right? The father did not agree because he was too poor. So he became so intense about this, he became so crazy that it was as he was going to lose his mind. That news reached this girl, his cousin's sister. It reached his cousin's sister. So she sent him a message. Now look at this. She sent him a message. And she said, your love for me has reached me. And how you're feeling, the news of that has come to me. But you have to realize that I have a multiple amount of love. The love that you have for me, my love for you is a multiple of that. It's much more than that. If you want, I will leave my house and I will come and I will basically depart my family. And if you want, I will facilitate a way for you to come into my house. So she's essentially offering him a haram relationship, right? In a sense. He then sent back. Now, you might put yourself into this situation. This is where you have to be careful. This is where you don't want shaitan. See, having love for somebody, it can't be helped. The Prophet ﷺ used to love Aisha radiallahu anha more than any of his other wives. But that did not allow him to favor her in giving her more, gifts or something. He had to be particular about all of that. Same thing here. He said that his response to her was that no, I've got no need for that. You know, this kind of association, I have no need for that. I have inni arhabu naran taladha wa adhaban la yanqati'u abada. I have fear for a blazing fire, and I am fearful of a punishment that will never end. When this message got to her, and nowadays it'd be through email or through whatever, right? But in that day, he sent it through somebody else. When the news came to her, she began to cry. And she said, Wallahi ma ahadun awla bihadhal amr minni. There's nobody who needs to act on this advice more than me. So immediately she's understood the reality of this situation. And she says, وَإِنَّ الْخَلَائِكَ فِي الْوَعْدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ. Because in terms of the warnings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever promises He's given, everybody is the same in that regard. So if He's feeling like that, I must feel like that as well. This is what you call a reflection within your love. That you take on what your lover feels. It's amazing. Right? So the piety actually reflects to the other individual. And then after that, she began to become intense in her worship. Right? And she began to do lots of worship, and that became very difficult for her parents and her family to see of her, because she just kind of disregarded everything now. She left the social, the social activity that she used to do. She just focused on worship until eventually she died. So she died. Now this young man, he used to come to her grave every day. He used to visit that grave every day, and he used to make istighfar for her. He used to make istighfar for her, and then he used to return. One day in his sleep, she comes to him in his dream. And he says to her, he says, are you so and so? And she says, yes. He says, tell me where you've gone to. What is your situation at this point in time? Where have you gone to? How are you feeling? So she got up and she read the following poem. She says, إِلَى نَعِيمٍ وَعِيشٍ لَا زَوَالَ لَهُ فِي جَنَّةٍ وَخُلُودٍ لَيْسَ بِالْفَانِي. SubhanAllah. She said that, I've gone to bounties and to a life that is never to end, in a paradise, in gardens, and in eternity that is never to come to an end. And then he says to her, do you remember me? Do you remember me? And she says, Wallahi la ansaka, inni la atamannaka ala rabbi. I will never forget you. In fact, I have hoped for you in front of my Lord. I have petitioned for you in front of my Lord. So then he says, matal multaqa, when are we going to meet? So she says, an qareebin insha'Allah. Very close, if Allah wills. So then he continued persisting in his ibadah, his focus on his ibadah for a short amount of days. And then after that, death overcame him. He passed away and he went to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. That's the way to deal with love. That's the way to deal with, not to kill yourself, but you know, if you're in that level of relationship, of love, of obsession, well, that's another thing. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, because that's a very critical stage. Very quickly, one of the Umayyad Khalifs, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, he had a mu'adhin, a personal mu'adhin, a private mu'adhin in his palace who used to give the adhan and he used to call him for the salat. Now, another thing was that there was a slave girl, a young girl, a slave girl, right, really beautiful. And she used to work for Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, and the mu'adhin looked at her, cast a few glances at her because she was very pretty. And Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, he discovered that one day, he saw him glancing at her. In fact, she went and complained. She said, he keeps looking at me, right? So she went and complained to Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik. Now, Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, he was very jealous individual. So he said to her, this is what I want you to do. He wanted to kill him straight away, but then he says, no, let me give him an excuse to be killed. So he says to her, go and adorn yourself, wear nice clothing, go and adorn yourself, go and put some nice perfume and fragrance on, and then go to him and tell him that your looking at me is not hidden on me. I see you looking at me all the time, and I have in my heart affection towards you as well. So if you've got any need from me, here you go, take it. Because the Amir al-Mu'mineen is sleeping at this time. So I want you to do that. So that's exactly what she did. She went up and she said to the Mu'adhin, she said exactly what Sulaiman had told her to say. Now the Mu'adhin said to her, "In kunti sadiqa, if you're truthful about this, then go today and come back to me tomorrow. Like, I don't want to do anything today, come back tomorrow if you're truthful about this." So she went and she told Sulaiman about what he had said. Now Sulaiman was very persistent. Right, very persistent. He said, no, go back and tell him that I've only got time today. Right, I've only got time today and there's no time better than this. So she went and she made, you know, she mentioned this to him. So this is when he glanced up at the heavens. This mu'adhin, he glanced up at the heavens and he said, Ya Jaleel, Aina Sitruk al-Jameel? Ya Jaleel, Aina Sitruk al-Jameel? Oh, majestic one, where is your beautiful covering? Where is your beautiful covering that will help me in this situation? And then he said to her, I want you to now go and never come back to me. And never come back to me. And the reason is that it's very close that we will have to then meet in front of the one who I don't want to give a bad impression. We're going to have to meet in front of the one who I don't want to give a bad impression. She went back to Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. Now she is very scared herself because he's talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing in front of them. These were people with soft hearts. And she began crying and she told Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik this story. And finally, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik sent somebody to the Muazzin and he said, Sulaiman the Amir, he has given you this girl as a gift. She was a slave girl. He said, he has granted you her as a gift and he has also ordered that you be given 50,000 dirhams that you can spend on the wedding. He says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now imagine that with us. You really wanted somebody. And then after that, you feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you came to you. Now you're going to think, subhanAllah, that's from Allah. My patience, my taqwa, it's brought the person to me. But this person was truer than that. He was on another level. SubhanAllah, he was on another level. He says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Inni wallahi qad dhabahtu tam'i fiha. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I sacrificed my desire for her. I've already sacrificed my desire. I made that promise yesterday. I sacrificed my desire for her from the time that I saw her. And I have made her a treasure for me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I will take her in the hereafter. Meaning I will be given something in the hereafter on her behalf. فَأَنَا أَسْتَحْيِ أَنْ أَسْتَرْجِعْ شَيْئًا إِدَّخَرْتُهُ عِنْدَهُ. Now I feel totally embarrassed to return and to break a promise or take back something that I've kept by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I feel totally embarrassed to do that. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik insisted, no, you can take it, it's fine, it's halal, this, that and the other. But he totally refused to take either the wealth or the girl. Finally, Sulaiman, you know, he thought this was an amazing story. He would always relate this story to others in absolute wonderment. So that is the kind of situation that people have found themselves in. Love is not modern. Love is something that is as ancient as human beings. This is the way to deal with them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to deal with it. Now, to quickly finish off, Yunus ibn Abdullah, who's one of the students of Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, he says that I was with Hassan al-Basri for 20 years. Never once did I hear him mention anything about the dunya, about how things were, his love. He never showed any love for anything of the dunya. Never once for anything of the dunya. One day we were sitting down and people used to come to him for questions. So one day this woman came who was of the highest level of beauty. She was stunningly beautiful. Like absolutely beautiful. And she was of perfect stature, perfect proportion. Everything was just so, the perfect model, Miss Universe type of thing, you know, of the time. She came and sat in front of Hassan Basri. She was covered up. She came and sat in front of Hassan Basri. She said, Ya Shaykh. Now listen to this story. This is for those of us who are married and are constantly looking for more, right? So she says, أَيَحِلُّ لِلْرَجُلِ أَن يَتَزَوَّجَ عَلَى زَوْجَتِهِ وَهِيَ شَابَّةٌ جَمِيلَةٌ وَلُودٌ. Is it permissible for a husband to marry over his wife, meaning take a second wife, despite the fact that she is very fertile, gives children, she is extremely beautiful, everything, all the qualities are there, is he allowed to take another wife? So Hassan Basri rahimahullah, he gave a technical answer. He says, of course, yes, he can marry up to four. That's what the Quran says. He gave her a technical answer, right? So then what she does, she says, even over somebody like me, and then she lifted her niqab up. She revealed her face. Extremely beautiful. She said, even somebody like me, he can take another wife? He said, yes. It's just very technical. Yes, of course. And she said, Subhanallah. She said, Subhanallah, glorified be Allah. Bi'aishika, la tufti linnasi bihadhi al-fatwa. By your life, don't ever give this fatwa to people. By your life, do not ever give this fatwa to people. And then she went away. And Hassan just looked in that direction and he said, مَا يَدُرُّ إِمْرَأً أَكَانَ لَهُ مِثْلَ هَذِي شَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. No, anybody who's got something like this in the world, I mean, he should not want anything else. That was his remark. He gave a technical answer to her, but that was his remark that, subhanAllah, why would anybody want anything? I mean, subhanAllah, you know, that's, he's got that. So now, somebody asked, can anybody not have love? He said, yes, the only person that can't have is somebody who's absolutely rough and just has no idea. They're the only people who don't have love. See, the thing, now I'm going to define love for us. Some of the hukama say, Al-hawa jaleesun mumti' wa ilfun ma'noos wa malikun qahir yamliku al-abdana wa arwahaha wal quluba wa khawatiraha wal uyuna wa nawadhiraha wal nufus wa araaha tuwali anil absari madkhaluhu wa khafiya anil uyuni maslakuhu. This is, he defines love, and I find this the perfect description. He says that love is a very affectionate companion. It feels really nice to have it. That's why even married people, they like to flirt, because it just gives them these butterflies, which is haram. They like to flirt. They don't think they want to do anything. They've got no intention to do anything afterwards. But they just like to do the initial stages just to feel romantic. And that's haram. That is haram. Just to feel romantic. Once you start going that way, less romance will be with your own spouse. Husband, wife, both in both these situations. The more you focus on your husband and wife, the more it will be. SubhanAllah, I was sitting in i'tikaf in Ramadan. And I got really friendly with this one older Mawlana. MashaAllah, he was a very pious individual. He was probably about 65, maybe 70 years old. Very nice guy. We used to sit together to eat. And one day he was talking to his son, who was also there. He says that, you know, he was saying something like, I haven't called your mum on the phone. He was from Dubai. He says, I haven't called your mum on that. I said, just joking with him. I said, Mawlana, I said, man, you're so old now. You still have to like worry about these things. So he slaps me like, you know, like this. And he goes, Mawlana, you don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed between the couple, the husband and wife, mawadda and rahmah, love and mercy. And he says, initially, when you're young, it's all about lust. But as you grow older, if Allah has given you barakah, then you won't even touch each other, but your love will be so strong. Your bond will be so strong, even though you won't even have to touch each other. You may even be sleeping in separate beds at that age, but you'll have an ajeeb affection and love and bonding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in, you know, will place for you. And what the ulama mentioned is that this will be lost when you start entertaining yourself in haram ways. That's why there's so many people, they say, I have to get married again because I just don't like my wife. Has she got a problem? Is she aggressive? Is she like this? Is she like that? No. She's fine. I can't complain about her. What's the problem? Problem is barakah. The problem is barakah. Now, of course, I mean, there's other aspects to this which we can't go into right now. But then he says, love is a very affectionate companion. It is a dominating king. It will dominate you. You won't be able to go against it. And then he says, it will control your body and your ruh, your soul and your mind, and your heart and everything. It will take over everything. That's what love does. Love, what is love? Love is that which makes you blind. Love is that which makes you blind of your beloved's defects. That's what you call it. If somebody tells you you've got a defect and you think it's all fine and glory, it means you're in love. Right? And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Then he says, it will take over your eyes. It will take over your gaze. It will take over your nafs. It will take over your thoughts. It will take over your opinions. And the problem is that it is able to enter from where your eyes don't see it. It is totally hidden to your wife. It's to your sight. It is hidden. It is invisible to your sight. And that's the problem with it. That's the problem with it. Now, all of this that we discussed until now was the love between human beings. There's a more intense form of love, which is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's love for the human being, which we don't have, unfortunately, we don't have time to go into. But essentially, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, He makes life easy for them. He makes life enjoyable for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that finally He calls to Jibreel alayhi salam and He says, Ya Jibreel, I love so and so. I want you to love him as well. Jibreel alayhi salam spreads this information around the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels, they begin to love him. And then as they come onto the earth, people begin to love this person. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what it's all about. And that's why if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many people who claim to love God. But what the poet says, تَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُظْهِرُ حُبَّهِ فَهَذَا مُحَالٌ فِي الْقِيَاسِ بَدِيعُ لَوْ كُنْتَ صَادِقًا فِي حُبِّهِ لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Basically, he's saying that you disobey Allah, you disobey your God, whereas you claim and you claim to love him. This is impossible, this is inconceivable. This, in any kind of logic, is absolutely strange. Were you truthful in your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would be obedient to him, because the lover is obedient to his beloved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love. And the reason why I say this is that if we focus our love on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are a number of the ulama who have had divine love, who've reached that status. They reconcile between this one question that comes in all of our minds. If you're going to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not anything else in your heart, how are you then supposed to love your children, your parents, your spouse, people you're supposed to love as well? How do you reconcile between that? The ulama mention, when you taste divine love, that is true love, that is real love, you will become a better lover in general. Even in terms of worldly love, you will become a better lover than those who only have worldly love and no divine love. So focus your attention on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will notice that in every aspect, it will be much better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His love and the love of those who love Him. This is a dua that is very powerful. Allahumma rzuqna hubbak wa hubba man yanfa'una hubbuhu indak. I have benefited greatly from this dua. Oh Allah, grant us your love and the love of those who love you. He will give you the right company and He will give you the right influence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.